Blog Talk Radio.
Chapter 17. Spiritual leaders pray. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abides in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. In this is my Father clarified, in that ye bear much fruit, and in this manner ye shall be my disciples. John chapter 15, verse 4 and verse 8. Give me 100 preachers who fear nothing but sin and desire nothing but God, and I care not a straw whether they be clergymen or laymen. Such alone will shake the gates of hell and set up the kingdom of heaven on earth. God does nothing but in answer to prayer. John Wesley. The apostles knew the necessity and worth of prayer to their ministry. They knew that their high commission as apostles, instead of relieving them of the necessity of prayer, committed them to it by a more urgent need. They were exceedingly jealous that some other important work would not exhaust their time and prevent their praying as they needed. They appointed laymen to look after the delicate and time-consuming duties of ministering to the poor so they, the apostles, might give themselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. Acts chapter 6, verse 4. Prayer is put first, and their relationship to prayer is put most strongly. Give ourselves to it, making a business of it, surrendering themselves to praying, and putting intensity, urgency, perseverance, and time into it. How holy apostolic men devoted themselves to this divine work of prayer, night and day praying exceedingly, says Paul. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 10. We will give ourselves continually to prayer is the consensus of apostolic devotion. How these New Testament preachers laid themselves out in prayer for God's people. How they put God in full force into their churches by their praying. These holy apostles did not proudly assume that they had met their high and solemn duties by delivering God's word faithfully, but their preaching was made to adhere and endure by the passion and persistence of their praying. Apostolic praying was as taxing, toilsome, and imperative as apostolic preaching. They prayed mightily day and night to bring their people to the highest levels of faith and holiness. As Paul said, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you always, in every prayer of mine for you all, making request with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. Philippians chapter 1, verses 3 through 5. They prayed mightier still to hold the people to this high spiritual altitude. The preacher who has never learned the high and divine art of intercession for his people will never learn the art of preaching, even though homiletics might be poured into him by the ton and he might be the most gifted genius in making and delivering sermons. The prayers of apostolic, saintly leaders do much in making saints of those who are not apostles. If the later church leaders had been as particular and fervent in praying for their people as the apostles were, the sad, dark times of worldliness and apostasy would not have marred the history, eclipsed the glory, and arrested the advance of the church. Apostolic praying makes apostolic saints and keeps apostolic times of purity and power in the church. What loftiness of soul, what purity and elevation of motive, what unselfishness, what self-sacrifice, what exhaustive toil, what passionate spirit, and what divine tact are required to be an intercessor for men. The preacher must devote himself to prayer for his people, not that they might be simply saved, but that they might be mightily saved. The apostles dedicated themselves to prayer that their saints might be perfect, not that they would have a little relish for the things of God, but that they might be filled with all the fullness of God, Ephesians chapter 3, verse 19. Paul did not rely on his apostolic preaching to secure this end, but he said, "For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ," Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14. Paul's praying carried Paul's converts further along the highway of sainthood than Paul's preaching did. Epaphras did as much or more by prayer for the Colossian saints than by his preaching. He labored fervently always in prayer for them, that they might stand firm, perfect, and fulfilled in all the will of God, Colossians chapter 4, verse 12. Preachers are preeminently God's leaders. They are primarily responsible for the condition of the church, for they shape its character and give tone and direction to its life. Much in every way depends on these leaders. They shape the times and the institutions. The church is divine, and the treasure it encases is heavenly, but it bears the imprint of the human. The treasure is in earthen vessels, and it resembles the vessel. The church of God makes or is made by its leaders. Whether it makes them or is made by them, it will be what its leaders are: spiritual if they are spiritual, secular if they are secular, convoluted if its leaders are convoluted. Israel's kings gave character to Israel's allegiance. A church rarely revolts against or rises above the religion of its leaders. Strong spiritual leaders, men of holy might at the lead, are tokens of God's favor. Disaster and weakness follow the wake of weak or worldly leaders. Israel had fallen low, so God gave children to be their princes and babes to rule over them. No happy state is predicted by the prophets when children oppress God's Israel and women rule over them. Times of spiritual leadership are times of great spiritual prosperity for the church. Prayer is one of the distinguished characteristics of strong spiritual leadership. Men of mighty prayer are men of might who mold things. Their power with God has the conquering tread. How can a man preach if he does not get his message fresh from God in the prayer closet? How can he preach without having his faith quickened, his vision cleared, and his heart warmed by his solitude with God? Alas, for the pulpit lips are untouched by this closet flame. Dry and spiritless they will ever be, and divine truths will never come with power from such lips. As far as the real interests of religion are concerned, a pulpit without a prayer closet will always be a barren thing. A preacher may preach in an official, entertaining, or learned way without prayer, but between this kind of preaching and sowing God's precious seed with holy hands and prayerful, weeping hearts is an immeasurable distance. A prayerless ministry is the undertaker for all God's truth and for God's church. It may have the most costly casket and the most beautiful flowers, but it is a funeral, notwithstanding the charming array. A prayerless Christian will never learn God's truth. A prayerless ministry will never be able to teach God's truth. Ages of millennial glory have been lost by a prayerless church. The coming of our Lord has been postponed indefinitely by a prayerless church. Hell has enlarged herself and filled her dire caves in the presence of the dead service of a prayerless church. The best and the greatest offering is an offering of prayer. If the preachers of the 20th century would learn the lesson of prayer and use the power of prayer, the millennium will come to its high point before the century closes. Pray without ceasing is the trumpet call to the preachers of the 20th century. If they will get their texts, their thoughts, their words, and their sermons in their prayer closets, the next century will find a new heaven and a new earth. The old sin-stained and sin-eclipsed heaven and earth will pass away under the power of a praying ministry. Scripture: praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching in this with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18.
And glad.